This episode is sponsored by Martin Care. Welcome back for another episode of the Jewish Moves Podcast. This week's episode is with the Rabbi Jonathan Cohn. He's the Assistant Director of Admissions for Yeshiva University in Israel, and he's involved with MCSY as the Director of Professional Recruitment. Rabbi Cohn, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to come on. You know, today you're very involved with the college-age students and crafting the Jewish future. But before this, you people say you ran Camp Masorah and you inspired Shalvim students as a member of their kollel. Did you always know you wanted to be involved with the Jewish future?
It's an excellent question. And I'll throw in as well all my wonderful experiences of how I did get jump-started. I was actually thinking about this morning in terms of a Yarchei Kala that I was very much involved with, NCSY. About 25 years ago. I was actually supposed to be an accountant. I was supposed to go into the business world.
Interesting.
And my father actually runs a travel business. So I always knew I had a tafkid, and that was always my agenda. But when I went on Yarchei Kala, I actually met a number of wonderful, wonderful students. And they really didn't know that much. And over the weekend, they were just glued. They wanted to hear more. They wanted to get more involved. They even took them to a Sfarim store and they bought tzitzits. And of all days, actually, unfortunately, we heard the news that Rabbi Stolper had passed away. And I was with him on that Shabbos. So, you know, just to take a moment to remember all the good that he has done for NCSY. But in terms of inspiration, I wanted to be able to give back. And really, my first job in chinuch, or education, was in Har Torah. I was actually like a sub. And they kept asking me, why do you want to come back as a sub? Do you enjoy what you're doing? I said, I don't know. You know, I want to be able to inspire. The kids enjoy. And it's good to prepare. And from there, I started launching my career. And I spent about 6 years in America teaching. I was actually the rabbi for the high school college students and young Israel Woodmere.
Oh, wow.
And I was also learning Night Seder and Yeshiva Gadol of Five Towns. So there was a lot going on. I always kept a business sense. I still worked for my father for a Pesach program. And actually was working in Camp Levi for about 22 years. And many of those years I was running a kitchen. And in my book, it was more of how to do the best of both worlds. How to inspire others, but at the same time keeping, you know, focus on the business and using the tools that I use from Yeshiva University where I got my accounting degree.
Interesting. And somewhere along the way, I take it you got the nickname Joko. How did that come on?
That's an excellent question, and it actually also puts together different parts. I just mentioned I was in Camp Levi for 22 years, and I was on the chinuch staff, and I ran the kitchen, I ran the kollel. And when I had the opportunity to be asked to be the head counselor in Camp Masorah, I was trying to figure out what I wanted people to call me. If they call me Rabbi Cohn, I felt like they would look at me as like the rabbi. But as head counselor, you're not the rabbi. You're more there to guide, to assist, and to be there. And I also felt it would be funny if, you know, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 18-year-olds were calling me by my first name, Jonathan. And I remember in what we call the Lavi days, there were a few people with nicknames. There was someone that was named Moko, that was like a Moshe Cohen. There was someone named Joey Honig, that was Joho. And then, you know, every so often someone would say, you could be Joko. So it slowly started being brought up, and I figured that might be a nice balance in terms of respect, but at the same time of, I could be there for them.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And what about nicknames like Weasel and Sniper?
Wow, so you've done a lot of research about where I went to high school. So those are actually complimentary nicknames. When I was in high school, so I actually grew up in West Hempstead, and the kids who really got playing time on the hockey team were from Woodmere, from Lawrence, Five Towns. But Baruch Hashem, I had a great junior year, and senior year, I actually led the league in shorthanded goals.
Wow.
Which, you know, earned me what we call that nickname. But at the same time, I was playing with the captains, a guy named Ron Friedman, a guy Jordan Glick. And these guys were what we call the real stars. And they were so good at their stick handling and shooting on net But I would be the one who would always finish up the play and score the goals. And Baruch Hashem, as we always remember our glory days, I ended up being the third leading goal scorer my senior year. So thank you for reminding me of those good times.
Those are impressive stats. How did you decide to make Aliyah?
Okay, that's also, these are loaded questions. So Baruch Hashem, I'm married to a wonderful, wonderful woman, Tzivi Abramoff, Tzivi Cohen now. She's from Toronto. She always wanted to make Aliyah. They have to understand something about my wife, and thank you for giving me that petach, that opening. My wife, everybody should realize, is a bone marrow donor, as well as a kidney donor. Wow. I don't know if you already knew that or not, or you're getting to that, but that's the most important thing you could get from anything in terms of being able to save a person's life. So she's always been my inspiration, and I always said I was neutral. I could live in America, I could live in Eretz Yisrael. She said, if we have X amount of money in the bank, could we go or should we go? And it wasn't really a question. It was more like, if we felt that we were stable, that we could make it to Eretz Yisrael, we did. And Baruch Hashem, that's how I ended up coming back to Shalavim, and I was in the kollel there.
Wow, very nice. And how did you end up getting your, now you're the assistant director of admissions for YU, but originally you were the admissions coordinator for the Israel program. How did you get that first role?
So I was in the Shalavim Kollel for about six and a half years. And the person who was previously working for admissions for YU, his name is Simi Sherman, actually is a neighbor of mine right now. He was a Rebbe in Leva Torah for a while as well. And he happened to mention to me, he's like, oh, I've seen you, you know, working with the Shalavim guys. And he was ready to move on. He's like, I think you would be great at it. And I started asking some of my friends, and they said, you're a great schmoozer. And a lot of what you do with Yeshiva University, and in terms of working with the students in various yeshivas, and I work hand in hand with about 13 yeshivas right now, is really to be there to support them, to guide them, to listen to them, to help them with registration, have the zechus of being mishamish alad, the talmidei chachamim when they come in, and the academians as well. And Baruch Hashem, I've been with Yeshiva University for about 11 years right now. And just recently, as you mentioned, my title was just changed to Assistant Director of Admissions. And we have a wonderful support group and cast and a great team at Yeshiva University. I'm very privileged to be working with them.
All right, sounds really cool, and a mazel tov on the promotion. When you go around for to the different yeshivas and meet with students, some who are already enrolled and some who might be, people usually, I assume, try to put on their best face for you and make themselves really something that you want to recruit and that they hope to be recruited. Are there stories, though, that stick out as the opposite happening, where something really crazy went down that caught you off guard?
So in two directions. Let's talk about the positive first. I remember that there are students that do want to come to Yeshiva University, and they're shy. And sometimes they don't feel comfortable sharing that they really want to be there, because maybe things might not work out, or the friends always think that they're going somewhere else. And I can tell you that one time I was in a certain yeshiva in the Old City, the Tivarie, where I parked my car, but it turned out that the parking lot closed at a certain time. And those were the days where I would be in yeshivas till about 2-3 in the morning. They were very gracious, they found me a place to sleep. And in the morning I got up, I wanted to get back, get my tefillin. I wanted to get back to Ramat Beit Shemesh. On my way out of the Old City, I actually bumped into one of these students, and we had just had registration. It was like very near registration time, and I got the guts to go up to that student and ask him if he really wanted to be at YU. And let's just say within 24 hours, that student who was not supposed to be coming to YU ended up coming to YU. And on the flip side, every so often you have students that, they put on a smiley face, and they make it seem like they're coming to YU and we're going through all the motions, but at the end of the day, they're not coming. And my advice would be is honesty is always the best policy, and students should feel comfortable. And with that, I'll share with you, I remember I had a student in one of the yeshivas that he was so scared to enroll in the army because he thought he was going to disappoint me. And he went and he asked his Rebbe, or his administrator, if he could ask me if it'll be okay if he could go to the army instead of enrolling in YU. I said, obviously, if a person wants to come and join you know, the Israel army, Mamash B'Simcha, were very proud. And it was just amazing that he was ready to give that up just because he felt he had such a kesher with me that he was going to make me feel disappointed. Baruch Hashem.
Wow. I know that WhatsApp statuses have become a new medium of social media. Some people call it a social media platform. And, you know, you're very well known for your status, posting things all the time and racking up over 1,000 views. Is that something that it was a conscious decision? You know, I want to start a popular status, or is it just, you know, you're involved with a lot of people and they want to see what you're doing?
That's awesome. Exceptional, exceptional question. And I never realized, but I did realize at some point that it was going to go big. It started off very, very slow. No one really checks how many people, you know, check their statuses. But as we know, 2 years ago when the pandemic started with Corona, nobody knew what was going to be. And it was a very tough time for many, many students that were coming, for a lot of administrators that were coming. Because it's so often that you get to see your friends on the weekends, you go away for Shabbos. And during that time, you know, people really restricted to their own yeshivas. And Baruch Hashem, myself, my colleagues, we were able to, obviously, following rules and behind plastics and things like that, to really be able to go into the yeshivas, to see the yeshivas, and to see the Talmidim and talk to them. And all of a sudden, when I take pictures and be able to share it on what we call the status platform, all of a sudden, guys are writing into me. They're writing to the Chaverim of, wow, I made it to Joko status. Wow, this is amazing. I haven't seen my friend in X amount of time, but like, just to see. And it started growing from, you know, 100 to 200 to 500. And in the beginning of this year already, we were close to already 800. And once it already took off, you know, it became a little bit of a mischak of who could be number 850 and who could be 900 and who could be 950. And I believe that, like, you know, number 1,000 ended up being one of my son's friends that they're also following and they like to see what the hack is. And I think, you know, I think we had 1,019 as our high. And I think it was Rabbi Ram who came in for Yeshiva University to Bechinas with Shana Bat Zduna Shalvim, Kenny Rosenfeld. And that really just not exploded things, but like, what's next? And I would say what next is that, like, to encourage people that if they have good things to share, right? We always have to know how to use social media for good, not for negative. Being able to share positives. And I know there's some people that will send me pictures. They'll say, please don't give me any photo credit for it. Or, you know, just that they could connect. And we could also portray what goes on the Yeshiva University campus of the different alumni, different rabbeim that go and visit the Talmidim, just to see that warmth and those connections.
Wow, it's pretty cool. And I saw that this year in the Shalvim Purim Spiel, you had a cameo with that. You know, when you're putting cameos like that, where you're going around to yeshiva guys, you know, I know as someone with friends, you know, sometimes, you know, people want a break from life, they want to step aside or some quiet time. Do you ever feel like you're kind of in like a rush hour traffic zone of a constantly being involved and you're like stuck and want to get away, or is it something that you're kind of constantly fine with?
Also, it's an amazing, amazing question. And Baruch Hashem, once again, my wife gives unbelievable advice, as she always does. And whenever we have students come for a Shabbos, we always tell the students that we don't talk shop, we don't talk business on Shabbos. You're here to experience a Shabbos with the family and to enjoy that. I still remember many, many years ago, there was a student, he got the courage to call me to come for Shabbos. And I said, bring a friend. He wanted to come by himself. Thank God that the yeshiva he was at is walking distance, so he was gonna come for the meal and then go. And I think right after the first course, he like opened up and he wanted to come to YU. And I gave him that response of, I would love to talk to you at Shabbos. And my wife noticed that the student, like, he got up all the courage and he set up that meal to come by himself to talk because he didn't want to do it amongst his chaverim. So in terms of that balance, my kids and my wife will say that, you know, I'm 24/7 with my tafka, but that's not actually true. I try to have that balance. Most students, if not all, know already that if they want to get in touch with me, they send me a WhatsApp first to know if there's a good time to talk. Because yes, when everything got jump-started, people were calling at all hours, 3 a.m, 5 a.m, and you have to set boundaries. And I think the more and more that there's a mutual respect and the students realize that, you know, you're a family person and family does come first. that you have to find that appropriate balance. And that's why for myself, in terms of the neighborhood and the kehillah I live in, you know, I'm very small, very private in that aspect. In terms of, you know, small Friday night minyan that we have in our house, that's really been for Tawellas to be able to daven with my boys. And that's something that's very powerful. And on Shabbos, daven a wonderful kehillah, Rabbi Gottlieb is the rub there. And again, it's not jam-packed. It's, you know, not everybody knows what I do. And that's also important, of having that balance of privacy. But at the same time, again, it's not for myself. Everything that I do is for the klal. And I'm very fortunate that for pretty much the 24 years I've been part of the klal, I've had wonderful mentors, Rabbi Menachem Penner, Rabbi Weinberger, and, you know, we'll say Joey Honig from Camp Lavi, and a lot of the wonderful, wonderful staff that's been there to coach and to guide, Stephanie Strauss, who's the executive director for the S. Daniel Abraham program. Tremendous, tremendous people. And it's important to be Markir Tov, and also to recognize that you have to find that balance.
It's interesting. And I saw you once wrote an article on a similar topic to what I'm about to ask, but we mentioned that sometimes you find people who know they want to go to YU or don't know, but it's a little hard to get out. However, constantly as someone who's involved with YU, you know, your job is to reach people. So every year I assume people are a little bit different and people have different interests, people want different giveaways, and people want to know different information. How do you figure out and I guess act upon trying to identify who people are and looking both in an individual case and as a whole into how you're going to get the message of YU to people?
That's amazing. And again, when a person asks, you know, go through what you do during the course of the year, I wouldn't say it's impossible, but we're putting on so many different hats at different parts of the year. Sometimes just the welcome meeting. Sometimes it's the one-on-one, and sometimes bringing personalities. Or, you know, for the last many years, I've also been running honors or helping out with the Strauss Scholars program. With so many different dynamics, it's really, and I've heard this mashal of kilu like a mashkiach, and you have to change your clothes many, many times over the course of the day, trying to understand the need of that individual student. And some students need right now, and some it's okay and they could wait. And it's also trying to find that balance, but giving them that time. I could share with you even this morning, a student was finishing up his registration, didn't fully finish his registration. And now, Baruch Hashem, because we have Zoom, we were able to have a Zoom call, share a screen, be able to give that personalized attention that's needed. And I encourage anybody and everybody to take advantage, to reach out to myself and my colleague, Rabbi Frohlich, and to our female colleagues from the women's side, with Shana Frank and also Yehudis Goldshine, that we're there for the students. And the swag giveaways definitely help. And coming up with that is a lot of thought. The last 2 years, the sweatshirts have really gone far. And we thank Tzvia Glazer from Flash, who's really marketed them and really done a tremendous job with them of really going above and beyond to really also, the idea of a sweatshirt was a bigger idea than what we're used to. But at the same time, it was also during COVID. And really, we weren't sure how many times we were going to get in. And we really wanted them to, the marketing. Marketing is huge. And I don't know if you've seen, but if you're going to Yerushalayim, people have sent me pictures already of like YU marketing of the five Torahs that are across in Yerushalayim by the train stations. The message is to get out there, to realize that a person, you know, might think or they know what they want to be doing after they finish high school. But you are correct. When they go to Eretz Yisrael for 1 year, 2 years, or it's starting to become more popular, 3 years, what is going to be that next step? And sometimes a person is, you know, tight in terms of I can't change. And sometimes they're open for change because you're launching your future. And part of what we do is to help somebody not just for the next 2-3 years, but hopefully for the next 10, 15, 20 years. I actually just had a conversation yesterday with a wonderful former Talmud. This we could say I was wearing my NCSY hat in terms of what I do with professional recruitment. He still remembers me, and he still remembers the conversations. And it's like an easy flow or transition now for people who want to go into education or chinuch to also feel that they can now talk to me when they're in their mid or late 20s to say hi. You know, whether it's for NCSY or for cloud work in general, they know that I'm a person that can help connect them, that I'm working with about 13 different regions across the US and Canada, that, you know, a blink of a second, I could connect them two different places, And again, that's, I guess, how one could help connect to the other. But again, it's to be a people person. And as you speak to any of the mashgichim out there from any yeshiva, it's not an easy job. And we know, and I'll make a joke, but not, you know, I get apologies. I'm sorry for bothering you so many times. I can imagine when you're meeting students all the time in yeshivas, in person. I give a lot of credit to the rebbeim and the mashgichim and the rashi yeshiva, because the mamash have to, you know, blood, sweat, and tears to really be able to help the talmidim. And any talmid that's listening or talmidah that's listening, the first thing you should be doing after this, if you hear this, and you should hear this, and hopefully we'll get you double the amount of listeners, is everyone should write just a thank you. A thank you letter to their Rebbe and Mashgiach, whoever it was that helped them. And that's out of a playbook from Dale Carnegie, in terms of reaching your potential, and using, you know, if we only use 10% of our potential, getting up to 15-20%.
Interesting. I guess we'll close up with two more questions. One of them is, so we mentioned how you have to reach people. Is the goal when you go into every yeshiva that you want every single person, or is it more of something that you want to identify certain people or a large number of people, but not everyone is the target?
So you have to be very careful with your wording, right? Or with my wording, in terms of, does every student belong at Yeshiva University? We want every student that, number one, wants to come, that belongs at YU, to come. That's why it's important to ask the questions. What does YU have to offer you? Because there's a plethora of so many wonderful opportunities, but we want our students to be happy. Every so often I'll get a student that they're interested in majors that, unfortunately, I don't even know what it is. There are these really fancy big words that might only have a limited amount of universities that could actually provide for that. I remember back a student wanted to do zoology. So that's not so easy, right? We could try matching and mixing and doing shape majors, but there's certain times a person wants to do astrophysics. So sometimes that can be hard or complicated. But I will get students that will ask really difficult questions, or maybe their early decision at certain places, and they want to talk through, how do I do it? And what's the yashrus in terms of our next steps and our decisions that we make? So does every student belong at YU? I think every student has to ask themselves the question if YU is the right fit. And if it's the right fit and they haven't applied yet or haven't thought about it yet, so reach out to one of the admissions people to be able to have a meaningful conversation to see if it fits their needs, fits their desires. I still remember I had a guy who was also ready for registration many years ago, and he said, if you tell me to go to YU, I'm gonna go to YU. I said, I can't tell you to go to YU. It has to be your choice, it has to be what you wanna do. Because otherwise you'll always be able to look back and say, oh, the only reason why I'm here is because Ray Cohn told me to be there. As opposed to, it's like, students should want to be there. And with whatever place they choose, it should be that they want it. It shouldn't be what we call a dochag of, oh, that bisimcha, it should be amazing. You should learn about all the wonderful opportunities in the spiritual life, the academic life, putting the combination of the two together. And, yeah.
Wow, very nice. And the last question of this episode is the last question of every episode, which is, you've interviewed a lot of people and you've said that you get calls or questions at the 24/7. I'm curious, you know, even though you've been getting so many questions as a YU representative and as someone involved with NCSY, when you were in the Shalom Kollel, there's always questions people never were asked. So I'm curious, reflecting back on all your years and questions received, if you could think of a question that you've never been asked that you wished you were, and what answer would you give?
Interesting. That's amazing. I actually thought your last question was going to be about the max, but you didn't lead into there. But that's okay.
If you want to talk about that, you could.
But I was asked this year if the max, well, one, I believe 50 games in a row, if that now helps students choose to come to Yeshiva University. So on one hand, I'm glad people didn't ask me that question, because there's so many reasons why a person should come. That was just an added bonus, an excited hype. Question that I think would be an amazing question to ask and to really, you know, sit down to talk about is, just like I know I'm going to yeshiva for a year or two, I'd like to create a roadmap spiritually of what it is that I'd like to gain and grow, or that's something I encourage students to do as well. I would love for students to come to me and say, hey, I know I'm going to be at YU for 3 years, for 4 years, maybe even longer. Where should I be 4 years from now? How can I create that roadmap in terms of the academics and in the spiritual? The academics, a lot of students do ask, and I always refer them to the advisors. But in terms of like what it is that maybe a student should be learning, should they be focusing on Yin? Should they be focusing on Bikia? Should they be learning Musar, Shkaf, Halacha? I can tell you that when I went to YU, and I thank my older brother, Rabbi David Cohn, who also a tremendous mentor, should have a shout out to my younger brother as well. But my brother was very cautious to make sure I had an older Chavrusa at YU. And I had the Zuchus to have an older Chavrusa of Rav Shalom Rosner.
Oh, wow.
And I got him for 15 minutes a night. We learned Aleh Shur. I'm telling you, I loved so much of my time at YU. An amazing schedule, and wonderful, wonderful chavrusas. Ravadi Krohn from Oraita was a chavrusa of mine for 2 years, and some other wonderful chavrusas. But those 15 minutes with Rai Rosner, having an older chavrusa, and just hearing, and again, did I know that he was going to become the Shalom Rosner today? I probably could have guessed that. But I actually appreciated that time. So if every student, you know, are gonna ask me that one question now that they haven't asked me is, how can you help me find an older chavrusa for about 15 minutes a day? That I think I would fine tune as that question to make their experience unique. And if I could just for a moment go back to my Shalvim days, because after Makar Tov to Rai Waxman, who guided me as well for the six and a half years I was in the Kollel, giving me all the and every opportunity possible. But in terms of highlights, I'm thinking about this very carefully. The week was, I would start my week with a private chavrusa with Rabbi Hartman, Yehoshua Hartman. And I would end my week learning Pirkei Avos with Rav Ari Ben Yaakov, who's a mashgiach. Person has to have in their schedule highlights. They might call it the cherry on top. Because you need everything else as well. But you need those things that also like help push you and motivate you towards those tough times. And it's important to have those tough times. A great line that I heard from Rav Avishai David, who's the Rashiv of Torah Traga, I was with him at a Sham Zachar. And he gave a bracha of Tzar Gidol Banim. I was trying to figure out why we would give a bracha that it should be hard and painful to raise children. And Baruch Hashem, I'm realizing more and more the beauty of the bracha Tzar Gidol Banim is that we should have struggles. And the struggles is how we're going to grow. And hopefully with what I do for Yeshiva University is that people should have struggles, should have questions. And hopefully with the appropriate mentors, not just myself, all the wonderful mentors that YU has to offer should take advantage of each and every one of them. I want to thank you for this opportunity. It opened my mind up to learn a little bit more about myself. And it's amazing to see the research that you have done in terms of getting to know me a little bit better. So I want to thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you for coming on, and all your answers were very interesting and very good. Do you want to give an email or website people should visit before we end? Or
In terms of Yeshiva University, you should always go to our YU website. You should be looking at the YU website. And for people who want to pursue a career in the NCSY organization and maybe want to see what they have, you go to the NCSY website to see all different opportunities that we have there, not just for NCSY, but also globally in terms of the Orthodox Union. There are many opportunities out there as well.
Okay, thank you again for joining. It was really a pleasure and honor.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this past episode of the Jewish Schmooze podcast. To get our latest updates and contact us, you can follow us on Twitter at Jews_Schmooze. If you want to sponsor an upcoming episode, you can reach out to JewsSchmoozeMarketing@gmail.com. And if you give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening on, that would be tremendously appreciated. Thank you so much, and hope you're looking forward to the next episode also.